Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful celebration of Palm Sunday as we now enter into Holy Week, the holiest week of the church year, as we walk with our Lord in his paschal mystery, as he walks to Calvary to lay down his life, to make the ultimate sacrifice, an offering of his life to the Father. It's this act of love that we will meditate on, that we will celebrate, that will cause us to look even more deeply, I think, into our hearts in terms of our own love. Are we aligned with the Lord? Are we surrendered fully to the Lord? Do we see the love that he has for us and the depth of love that he has expressed toward the Father and toward each and every one of us? He's come to save us. And this is the whole reason Jesus came. This is the whole reason he took on human flesh, was to go to Calvary and to lay down his life, to become a sacrifice for sin, to blot out sin, to take away its power, to disarm the principalities and powers of this world that hold the human race under the reign of sin and death, and to bring us into his life. It's the most important week of the year, brothers and sisters, as we walk with our Lord. And I thought it might be helpful this week to take a look at some of the key characters. Jesus obviously is the central figure in this great drama, but there's others as well that have significant roles and have high moments and low moments, and there's so much revealed in the apostles in this week. And I thought it'd be good to look at the life of St. Peter and then maybe take some time to look at Our Lady and the Apostle John as we go into the week, and then talk about the Chrism Mass on Thursday, also the celebration on Holy Thursday of the gift of the Eucharist, as we'll talk about, and then Good Friday we'll have a meditation as well. But I thought I'd start today with Matthew chapter 16. It's a famous passage where Jesus is gathered with his disciples and they're in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asks them the ultimate question, the most important question that any of us can answer, need to answer in our lives. Jesus said, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, others say that you're Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So each one of these characters is interesting: John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, and then one of the prophets. Everybody who has something to say about Jesus, they all think he's come in, at minimum, the tradition of the great prophets of Israel. Some think he's actually Elijah, come back to life, because of the power and the character of who Jesus is. And the reading continues. It says, "He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" Lots of people have opinions about who Jesus is. They have ideas about who he is. But the question Jesus wants to ask each and every one of us in this week in particular is, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter spoke up. He said this: "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter nailed it. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah, the anointed one of God. You're the one that Israel has waited for, the whole world needs. You are the one we've all anticipated and waited for. You're the Son of the living God. You're God's Son in an entirely unique way. And so here Peter, he emerges again. And in this moment, he emerges and he's the spokesman for the apostles. And he speaks so clearly that he gives the confession as Peter. And we'll see now what Jesus does is he affirms Peter, but we're also going to see the battle that's within Peter. It's such an important moment. So Peter declares who he is in front of all the brothers. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What a moment for Peter. He's touched by the grace of the Father. The Father makes it possible for him to see in the Spirit, to see who Jesus is in his fullness, that he truly is the Son of God, eternally begotten Son of God, and he is the Messiah of Israel. And so Jesus is so pleased, and then he tells Peter who he is. He gives him a new name. He calls him Peter, which means rock. And what I won't go into the whole reality of his establishing of Peter and the chair of Peter, and Peter as prime minister. He holds the keys. He has the authority of the kingdom. He represents the king. This is a crucial moment for Jesus establishing the foundation stone of his church. It's a high point for Peter. The brothers must have been amazed to see the grace that was on Peter's life in the moment and the way Jesus spoke to him and how Jesus was establishing him. But then the story continues. In verse 21, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." So the revelation of who Jesus is unfolding. This is the high point for all the apostles in their capacity to grasp who Jesus is. And Jesus affirms it, accepts it. He establishes, again, he establishes Peter as the leader of his church. And then he begins to tell them the real reason he came. What was lying before him? His destiny. And he came to suffer and to die in order to put away sin. Now, Peter operates and responds out of his flesh as a normal man. The fallen Peter, who's not being inspired in the moment, responds this way. And he says, "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him." He began to rebuke Jesus. He began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this will never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." What a juxtaposition of stories. This is the same man. One moment he's on the side of God, and God the Father is entrusting to him the revelation about who Jesus is. He's the one chosen. He's the one chosen to lead the 12 and to be the first foundation stone, the first pope, ultimately, right? And Jesus entrusts to him the keys and entrusts to him this position as prime minister representing Jesus and the kingdom of God. Jesus knew exactly who he was. And then Jesus opens his heart and he reveals to the brothers, those whom he loves and trusts and who he gathered to himself, and he says, "This is where I'm going, brothers. You are my disciples. You've come after me. And I've told you what the Father has called me to." And Jesus begins to unfold it more fully. And he said, "The Son of Man, the Messiah, must suffer. He must lay down his life and be killed by the religious leaders of our people." And you could see Peter, just the normal human response. He loved Jesus. They had a dream maybe of what the kingdom was going to look like. He just got put in a position of authority. Maybe they were going to usher in the kingdom and overthrow the corruption in the people of Israel. And finally, Jesus was going to rule right there, right then. Who knows what was going through their mind and heart? But the one thing for sure, Peter wasn't going to let his master get killed. And what did he do? He responded with force and strength. And he said, "No, Lord, this will not happen, not on my watch." And he was operating out of his flesh. And then Jesus rebuked him. But that was a stiff rebuke. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." How about that? His prime minister, the one who holds the keys, is a hindrance to him. Peter could not bear the truth of the destiny of Jesus. Nor could Peter see the depth of the sin in his own heart. And this is why it's so good, and I think why the Lord has given us, you know, in the scriptures, the full story of Peter's rising and falling and rising again. In Matthew's gospel, we go deeper now to the Lord's Supper, where Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him. Chapter 26, verse 31 says, "Then Jesus told them, 'This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.'" So he's talking to his most loyal friends, those he entrusted everything to. And he said, "Guess what, brothers? Tonight, all of you will fall away. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And in verse 33, Peter says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will, Jesus. I never will. Verse 34, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. You see the battle that's in Peter. You see his weakness, his human weakness, the reality, the power of sin that was at work in his life, his fallen nature, inordinate self-love. I mean, he didn't want to. I mean, he really believed he was going to be the guy. I'll never, never do this, Lord. I'll never disown you in any way. And Jesus said, oh yeah, you will, Peter. You will disown me. But Peter declared, he doubled down. He said, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. They had no idea the depth of the power of sin that was present in their lives. It's really good for us to be able to see, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for leaving us the full story of what happened to Peter. I mean, tomorrow we'll take up the actual moment of denial when Peter actually did deny him three times and see the drama that unfolded there. But I think today it's just helpful to see all of us are like Peter. All of us have moments where we're able, by God's grace, to see the Lord, to make the right confession, to do the right thing. But there's also in us a temptation to distance ourselves from him. One of the Gospels, it says that, you know, as Jesus is being led off, Peter began to follow him at a distance. He began to distance himself from the Lord because he was afraid. And self-preservation, self-protection was powerful in Peter. He began to, in that very moment when he thought he would be the man, to express the great loyalty to Jesus, and he would be the one that would be able to stand, the one who Jesus gave so much to, and he wanted to, but Peter needed to encounter the depth of his own brokenness and his own sinfulness, his own weakness, and the profound level at which he needed to confront that weakness so he could walk in humility. He's being profoundly humbled by the drama that's unfolding and the experience of having to face, in the most important moment, the depth of his own weakness. And you notice what Jesus said, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. He said, all of you are going to fall away, but after I rise, I'm going to come to you. He loves the apostles. He loves us. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. And the most important thing we can do is to be honest about who we are, to understand and grasp our own weakness, and to be humble before the Lord, and to say, Lord, without you, I can't do anything. Lord, give me the grace to love you in difficult times and difficult moments. And friends, we're living at a time where it's becoming more and more difficult to stand up for the Lord and the things of the Lord. Peter's a great lesson for us. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. We can talk a little bit more about the actual denial and how Jesus ends up touching Peter's life. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.